Let's all worship the Lord together as we sing the hymn 572. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see.
Jesus, my Lord, thou art the Savior.
seated. Our psalm for today is the Psalm 110. Let's read this short psalm and then we'll come to the throne of grace in prayer. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Ending our reading at the end of the psalm. Let's bow together in prayer. We're continuing to remember David and Rachel and the Crawford family before the Lord. Our sister Margaret, who's with us again, continuing to pray for her. And Mark Buchanan, who has come through his treatment. We're remembering him. Maureen hopes to get home on Monday. So that'll be a step in the right direction for her after many, many weeks in a nursing home. And we remember her sister Elizabeth. We think of Dave and Madge as well, older in years, and they've both succumbed to COVID. And remember Joan Gibson, praying for her. Ernie Monteith also, prayer has been requested for Ernie. And we remember Lorena over in Romania. And of course, the situation in Ukraine and the refugees and the will of God coming here to Hebron. So let's pray together. Almighty God, in this house of worship, we would seek collectively to come around the throne of grace, to worship the Lord, to hand over ourselves for this time, and by your grace to give our hearts and our minds to what is happening just now. We know that this is an important time for the church. It is a time when you have called us together that we might worship the Lord, that we might fellowship with those of like precious faith, that we might sing the songs of Zion and praise the glorious name of our God, who has wrought so great a salvation for us, and that we might enjoy the presence of the Lord, because we know that in his presence there's fullness of joy, at his right hand pleasures forevermore, that we might hear from the Lord today in his word. And we've read this psalm, and later on we'll come again to our study in Mark and seek to meditate a little while in the scriptures of truth. Make this a day to remember. May the Lord come down. May his presence be known and felt. We pray that his voice will be heard. We are the sheep of your pasture. You have redeemed us. You have called us in grace. And Lord, you have told us that your sheep hear your voice and they follow. And Lord, we want to hear the voice of our shepherd today. We know that the Lord speaks principally, preeminently through his word. And you've spoken to us already today in our own quiet times. And as we came to the early morning prayer meeting, those of us that were able to be here, Lord, you've spoken through your word. Now we come to this worship service. And we want the Lord to really come and abide with us and speak to us. And so that when we leave this place, that we will know that we've met with God and we've heard from him. We pray that you'll remember all who are in special need. We've mentioned names, Lord, who need the touch of the Master's hand. And we think of Mark, we think of our brother Sean, and we're delighted that he's back with us in worship here this morning. We think of Maureen, we think of Madge and Dave, remember Sister Joan. We pray for Ernie as well, and Lord, you know their circumstances, and you know the battles that they're going through with health just now. We commit them to the love of our God. We remember very especially all that's happening in Ukraine and your church there, the dangers, the threats. We think of the people that are surrounded by these bombs and killing. And Lord, we just pray for an end of the war. We certainly pray for the protection and the keeping hand of God to be upon the church, the people of God. Remember the many that have fled the country, whose lives were in danger. Remember those in the will of God that will be coming here to Ballymoney. We pray that you will help us to welcome them and to give them a safe place of refuge for a little time. Father, we pray that in the midst of it all, God will be glorified. We know we've heard of outreach work that has been done, people under the gospel that perhaps have never heard it before. We've heard of sinners being converted to Christ, and we know that even in the midst of such darkness, the Lord is pleased to overrule for his own glory. We remember the Crawford family again. We commit them into the Lord's hands in their sorrow. Day by day, may they prove the Lord. We pray that you will stand with them. Lord, we know that you have, but continue as they waken up every day and face the challenges of every day. May the Lord be there to greet them in the morning and to go with them, to bless them, to surround them in his grace and love. Lord, hear these our prayers and pour out your Spirit now upon this gathering of people in Jesus' name. Amen. A sincere word of welcome to the congregation today. Some visitors that might be with us having to come right up to the front. It's always a good place to be. I always like people up to the front, and the way we still do it here every other row allows you to come that little bit nearer, and we thank you for that. If you're listening in on Sermon Audio, on YouTube, or on Facebook, we also bid you a very warm word of welcome. We have our gospel meeting tonight at 7, with the prayer meeting at 6:30. Come yourself and bring others with you. Tuesday night is the children's meetings, the youth challenge at 7. Thursday night is our midweek service at 8 o'clock, and we are studying the nine fruits of the Spirit. Friday night, special night again for the youth, 8 o'clock, and the subject is mental health. The speaker, Dr. Nigel Campbell, he's a medical doctor, well qualified also to speak on this subject, and he's ready to receive any questions that you might have. Next Lord's Day, the prayer meeting is at 8 o'clock. Sabbath school at 10:30, our Bible class at 10:30. Phil will be dealing with the grace of God. It's incredible. 12 o'clock is our worship service, and 7 o'clock then our gospel meeting. We thank you sincerely in the Lord's name for your tithes and offerings to God's work. Today is Missionary Council envelopes and the school covenant support, and next week is the home mission outreach envelopes. We had a good open-air witness yesterday in the preaching of the Word, and want to thank all who came to stand with us and for Phil who brought the Word. We pray that many will hear and will come to believe in Christ. Remember Brother DePanker, he has been out and about in recent days preaching the Word and teaching and evangelizing in Orissa. And these are just some of the meetings that he was involved in, some of the people that were there and their accommodation as they stayed overnight. Pray for the work. We are remembering those that are suffering in Ukraine and the people that are displaced, over 3 million refugees, as you know. We're thinking of the House of Hope. We've been helping this place where aged folks and disabled have been brought during this wartime, and the war is getting very, very close to this place. It's not very far away, so they're just praying the Lord will keep this place. We pray for and with the Ukrainian church. We remember what Bethany Baptist Church is doing there in Timișoara as they're receiving the refugees. And we've sent these four pallets out, and we hope that they'll arrive in the very near future. Will you pray for Alejandro Bernabeu and others that will be traveling with them? They're going to Krakow in Poland, and they're going there tomorrow. They have two vans full of supplies to help refugees, and they're hoping also to bring back refugees to Spain. And I think they'll be staying in the Toledo area. We also heard this morning of Timothy and Rhoda Sloan. These are missionaries in Lutsk in Ukraine. And they are with the Brethren Assembly, not too far away from Ballymoney here. And they have prayer requests. This is from yesterday, so it's one day later that I'm reading this, but their well, as you see from point one. Their day starts about 6:30 and very often ends at 11 o'clock at night. The assembly, they are still having all their meetings as usual. 7 days a week, the assembly is feeding approximately 140 people each day, children, pensioners, and refugees. The attendance at the assembly meetings is large. A lot of unsaved coming in and hearing the gospel in these days. They're renting apartments for the refugees, and they have a large stock of gospel tracts, but they're buying 5,000 Bibles for distribution. The orphanage renovations are in full swing. Very sadly, a woman from Kharkiv asked if they could possibly take 56 orphans. They couldn't do that. The premises are not ready. But they're going to open even before it's complete in the very near future. The first truck arrived at the Polish-Ukrainian border today, as yesterday at 4 o'clock, and it had to be unloaded. So remember all this aid that's going in there through these folks. And they've also got these billboards round the town, putting up the scripture and advertising the meetings and offering free meals for children, pensioners, and refugees. Desi Coffee's been doing his little bit as well. And just recently, this week in fact, they have produced 2 CDs, and the price is £15. And all the proceeds are going to Ukraine. And you can get that CD down the road in Macaulay's bookshop. School was blown up yesterday, just 2 kilometres from the Christian school where Donald Fleming works with the local church there, so that the war is getting very near indeed to them. The church in Kharkiv have received the finance, and now they're reaching out to the people that are starving with no food. So 25 tons of food have gone in this consignment out to the people that are needing it. We are, in the will of God, preparing to receive 28 refugees. We talked to Donald last Sunday night after the meeting at length, and he was burdened in his heart. First of all, for a wee family of 7, he had to refuse them. He said nobody really can take a family of 7, but we did offer. So God willing, the family of 7 will come to us at the manse. We've prepared rooms for them. And then he said there's 28 altogether from the same fellowship, if it was possible to keep them together. I want to say that the congregation here have risen admirably to the appeal. The committee and the session have been very, very supportive, and accommodation is being prepared at the church here to receive another 15. And the pastor, his wife, and 4 children are going out the road to another family. So, God willing, these 28 people will come, and these are the folks we showed them on Thursday night. I want you to remember them. It's the pastor there and his family, and then the family of 7. Some of the folks that had fled to Poland, you're going to hear them sing just now. And then we have a second song that is sung by not all of them, but most of the 28 refugees that are coming to us. So you should be able to hear these folks sing. You want to pray for them in their distress.
Жизни среди битвы поднимала ты меня. Темной ночью я не спал, на коленях все стоял и душою с Богом говорил.
And then just this morning in the hostel in Poland where these folks are waiting to come here, they just got together and they sang this little piece here.
От греха я спасен, Божий мир водворен, сердцем верую я в Иисуса. Он покой мне дает, снял с души всякий гнет. Сына Божия верую я. Верую я в Иисуса, неизменной любви, Он хранитель души, Сына Божия верую я.
Saw the girl coming in with the crutch. She's a young woman. She's got a four-year-old boy. She's also expecting 4 months, I think, into her term. And she has left her husband behind, who is left there to fight. And she has some complications as well. So we know that the medical team here will look after her when she comes, and the midwives will be giving her attention. So pray for them. I want to thank those that have risen to provide bedding for the refugees when they come. Remember, you can use the envelope provided. There'll be ongoing needs. There's no doubt about that. And then finally, the Vision magazine is available. I want you to take that. There's one for every family. It's free of charge. We sing together 569. O safe to the rock that is higher than I, my soul in its conflicts and sorrows would fly. So sinful, so weary, thine would I be. Thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. And we trust if you have come to the house of God today and you're in a storm and we're coming back to the storm, that you will know what it is to be hiding in Christ. And you pray for those that you've seen, that the Lord will help them and that they will hide in Christ in their crisis. Because, just remember, that could have been you and I. If this part of the world had have been invaded, then we would be fleeing and we would be seeking a place of refuge as well. These are just ordinary people. They are the Lord's people. They're part of the body of Christ, and you need to pray for them. They just literally left with what they had. They didn't bring very much with them, and so they are in need, and our prayers are with them. Let's stand to sing.
Thank you.
Mark chapter 6, coming to the same passage that we've been in for a couple of weeks now, reading from verse 45 down to verse 53. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, and they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. We'll bow together, word of prayer, and seek the Lord now for our meditation in his word. Father, bless all of our churches as we gather like this today. Every minister and student, thinking about our own students perhaps that are away. We think of David over in Bush Mills. We think of Jonathan tonight in Macrofelt. We pray for Greg. We pray for De Panker. We pray for the other student body likewise, that they will know God's help. Help us to preach your word in the power and demonstration of the Spirit. And bless this message to every waiting heart, to those here in the building and those that are listening in on the internet, and perhaps those that will come to listen. We pray that by the ministry of the Holy Spirit, your word will be applied where it needs to be, and that we will hear from thee today. These things we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to put a title on the message, Christ Gets Into Our Ships as We Sail to Glory. Forgive me for lingering in the storm for another week. We have many that are still coming through the storm, and we know about them. We've been thinking about the Crawford family and the great sorrow that has come to their home. We think of Mark in hospital and the treatment that he has been receiving for his recent diagnosis of cancer. We think of Sean, and Sean, we're delighted to see you, and we hope that you're going to make good recovery this time. And we pray for Madge and her family. We pray for the Ukrainians. We remember them, all that's happening there. Pray for my mother-in-law, hasn't been so well, and others that we're conscious about. Now remember what's happening here on this particular night as the disciples have gone to sea. Christ constrained them to get into the ship. So the Lord put them out into this place, out into the sea. These men were to go to the other side, to Bethsaida. So they're going from point A. Point A was a desert place near Capernaum, and they were traveling to point B, which is this place, Bethsaida, and they're traveling from blessing, the feeding of the 5,000, to blessing, where Christ is going to work many, many healing miracles. But in between point A and point B, between Capernaum and Bethsaida, between the two points of blessing, there's the storm. This awful storm that arises in the lives of these men. Jesus, the interceder, he comes from the mountain of prayer to the rough and the stormy sea where his precious disciples were toiling and rowing and getting nowhere, for the wind was contrary. It's dark, it's cold, it's stormy. It is frustrating and frightening. And it's about 3 o'clock in the morning now. He's come on the fourth watch. And we note these precious words, "He cometh unto them." And even just to pause there again, as we thought about last week, it's an amazing thing when the Lord Jesus comes to where you are, especially when you're in the storm. He comes in a most miraculous way, for he comes walking on the sea. And I want you to note where the fierce and the ferocious waves are. They are beneath his feet, suggesting under his control. When they saw him, they cried out, they were troubled. Sweet are the words which follow. Immediately he talked with them. Immediately, in the midst of all their anxiety and fear, the Lord speaks. And this is what he said in verse 50, the end of the verse. "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." I feel gravitated towards this text, these beautiful words. And I want to highlight them and drive home to our hearts this verse of Scripture and the next one for our learning, for our comfort, for our encouragement and strength. Here's a message for those that are in the storm. Some of you are. Here's a message for others, perhaps, that are going to enter into the storm or into some crisis. Never forget, Jesus is always praying for you, as he was praying in the mount for these men. Never forget, he knows your location. He knows exactly where you are and what you are going through. The detail, it's all before him. He sees your struggle and your pain and your weariness. You might be at a standstill in your life. No progress is being made, no headway or possibility offered. You're toiling and you're rowing. Certainly, the expression here is giving the idea of the struggle that you might be in and how difficult it is to get out of it. The wind is howling and blowing and threatening, and you're in the storm of some kind. Well, Jesus sees. I want to emphasize that. Jesus knows, and he feels, and he cares, and he will intervene. The night might be dark, the way treacherous. You might be filled with doubts and cares, fears, and even unbelief, but Jesus will come to you because he loves you. He must come to you. He must visit you. He must do something because you are his child, dear believer. As you cry out in simple faith, maybe in desperation, he will talk with you. He will speak a word in season to you that is most fitting and appropriate, and it's likely going to be something like the words of this text, where he says to his disciples, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." He will speak to you a very appropriate word, and better still, and I want you to see this today, he will get into the boat with you. You're in your little ship today, and there's a storm. The Lord Jesus will get in, and he will bring a calmness, and he will bring a peace, as he did to these men and their circumstances. I want you to notice, first of all, the statement that Christ made, coming to these words that we've mentioned at the end of verse 50, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Who needs to hear this word of encouragement? Well, those who are not in good cheer, those who are fearful and frightened, indeed, those who are in the storm. And you'll notice that there's three little statements in our Lord's words of encouragement and exhortation. I want you to look at the middle one, first of all, where the Lord Jesus, and we gave a little bit of emphasis to this last week, where the Lord Jesus says, "It is I." It is I. Christ came to them in their perilous condition. He didn't send another. He could have sent an angel from heaven to be with them and still the storm. The Bible speaks about ministering angels. Indeed, they have been employed many, many ways, in many ways. The angel of God featured much in the exodus of Israel from the land of Egypt. You know that, and the blessings that that angel brought went before them. God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths in the den of lions where Daniel found himself in. You know the story. An angel came to deliver Peter from prison in Acts chapter 12. Do we not read about mighty angels encamping round about the people of God? The angel of the Lord encampeth round about those that fear him. If the Lord had sent one of the angelic host, that would have been a mighty intervention, we would have had to say, if he sent an angel. But he came himself. It is I, your master, your savior, your redeemer, your friend. It is I who stilled the storm that threatened to take your life on another occasion. There is no presence as comforting and as reassuring or of greater consolation than that of the Savior himself, to have Jesus draw near. Matthew Henry said, Christ's presence with us in a stormy day is enough to make us of good cheer, though clouds and darkness be round about us. He said, it is I. He doth not tell them who he was. They knew his voice, as the sheep know the voice of their own shepherd, John 10:4. How readily doth the spouse say once and again, it is the voice of my beloved, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 8, and chapter 5, verse 2. He said, ego e me, I am he, or I am. It is God's name when he comes to deliver Israel in Exodus 3 and 14. So it is Christ's now that he comes to deliver his disciples. When Christ said to those that came to apprehend him by force, I am he, they were struck down by it in John 18:6. When he saith to those that come to apprehend him by faith, I am he, they are raised up by it and comforted. Wonderful words of Matthew Henry, I'm sure you'll agree. It is I. That's what the Lord Jesus is saying to you today, dear believer, especially those that are in the storm. It is I. And notice the other two wonderful statements. Be of good cheer. Be not afraid. These men were downcast. They were fearful. They were struggling. They were toiling in rowing, making no progress whatsoever. You just try to work out the time. They went out to sea in the evening time, and they had probably rowed for an hour and made some headway. Then the storm came. They're out in the middle of the lake. Some have reckoned probably 7 hours. They were just stuck in the one place, exhausted, tired, fearful, rowing and rowing and getting nowhere. I've had a little experience of this. When I lived in Port of Ogie, I bought a little 15-foot rowing boat, and it had an engine. The engine wasn't very reliable, I have to say. We used to do a little bit of fishing, and the engine would sometimes break down, but at least we had the oars to get back to shore. And then there were the times when we feared a little bit because there was a bit of a swell and we seemed to make no headway. The engine was not working, and now we're rowing, and well, we're also praying, Lord, just get us back to the shore. My experience is nothing compared to the experience of these men, where they were. Andrew, Peter, James and John, and possibly others, were seasoned fishermen. They were used to the waters, they were used to the winds, the storms that so often broke forth unexpectedly in Galilee. Remember Matthew's account of this incident. The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves. And you can just imagine the scene. Just think of the word tossed. This little ship tossed from one wave to another. A horrendous experience, no doubt. And John's account further highlights their predicament. The sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. And I try to imagine the dreadful experience that they're going through. I've talked to the fishermen in Porto Vogue, and they can tell you what it's like in the great swelling times when the waves go up on one side and they're actually higher than the boat that they're in and then go down again. And that can so often be their experience. In fact, sometimes the weather is so bad they don't go to sea at all. And that can go on for weeks on end. These men were in a difficult, dangerous situation. And the Lord comes to speak to them in the midst of this storm. Be of good cheer and be not afraid. It's just the word that they needed to hear from the one that they knew could help. Such a message from the lips of the great Savior, applied to the heart by grace, was enough to silence their fears. He made himself known. He talked to them. Here's the one who can silence our fears and worries, our alarms and apprehensions. He comes. He draws near. He speaks. He says, be of good cheer. Be not afraid. His comforting presence and cheerful words is enough to dispel our doubts and fears. Oh, may the Lord draw near to you in your circumstances today. And may he be of good cheer. May he say, it is I. Be not afraid. Whatever it is that you're going through, here, listening in the church building, maybe sitting at home. Some of our folks are sick and at home, and maybe you're in a storm today. Well, may the Lord come and say, it's I. Be not afraid. I want you to look at verse 51 and notice the steps that Christ took. It says that he went up unto them into the ship. You know, I read that little statement, I thought, this is just wonderful. When I read this, my heart is touched, for the picture is most amazing and instructive. The Lord coming up into the ship. Don't miss what the scripture is telling us here and teaching us here. He went up unto them into the ship. When you are in the storm, it's good not to be alone. Isn't that right? To have others around you to support you and to encourage you. And the disciples, they had each other. They had other men there. There were 12 of them in this ship. Some of you, as you know, some of these men, as you know, were men of the sea. As I've mentioned, they were accustomed to the raging waters of Galilee. It's very possible that the non-seafaring men took a little comfort in the fact that Peter and Andrew, James and John were with them in the ship. These men are used to the sea. They're used to the storm. They'll know what to do. But now Jesus comes on board. Sometimes we have been in the storm together, and we've been able, by the Lord's help, to bear one another's burdens and to seek to encourage and strengthen each other. Sometimes we've been in a storm so personally. I'm sure that's been the case for everyone here. And others have come. They've come alongside in such times. They've been there for a support. You know, I thank God for the session and the committee and the members of the Hebron Fellowship, because I know this is a congregation in our storms who come alongside. However, our human comforters can only go so far. What a difference when Jesus comes on board. He not only comes walking in a distance as he did, he not only comes speaking words of comfort as he did, but he gets into the little ship. And he'll get into your ship too. Is your ship in the storm? Are the winds raging in your life? Are the angry waves threatening you? Do you feel that way today? You're in danger. Oh, may Jesus come on board. Get into the ship with you. And that will make the difference. Because I want you to notice, thirdly, the stillness that Christ brought. Look at verse 51 again. He went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. And the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. As the Lord Jesus got into the boat with them, two things miraculously happened. The first one we're reading here, that the wind ceased immediately. And then we also know that they were instantly at the other side, immediately. Now, they're in the midst of the sea, but it's John that tells us in John chapter 6 and verse 21 that they were immediately at shore. That was another miracle. As soon as the Lord got into the ship, the wind ceased, and the previous storm that they were in, we are told he arose and rebuked the winds and said to the sea, "Peace be still." Back in chapter 4, you remember it, verse 39. But here we read of no such formal command from Christ. The wind ceased immediately when he got into the ship. I pray that that will be your experience. Where the storm is raging in your heart and your life. May the Lord climb into the ship with you and bring a great peace and a calmness to your heart and soul. One day I know that we'll all be at peace forevermore. Our little ships are on a journey across the angry seas of this world, and we're on a journey to heaven. Praise God, that's where we're going. We're able to sing it this morning at the early time of prayer. We're going by and by to the palace of a king. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's the destination. We are sailing to the glorious shores of the new Canaan. And when we arrive on those shores, praise God, the wind will have ceased forever. The storms will be gone forever because there's no such thing in the upper region. But until then, may God guard and keep our hearts and give us peace in the storms of life. May he climb up beside us in the journey. We pray that it will be so for our Ukrainian brothers and sisters who are in a great storm today. We pray that it will be so for the Crawford family. The sudden death of Samuel has been devastating on a human level, we know that. And this storm is still something that they're experiencing. We pray that it will be so for our brother Mark and this recent diagnosis. We pray that it will be so for our brother Sean and for Madge and the others that we've mentioned. My dear people, you are never out of God's sight. You are never out of God's reach. You are never out of God's care. And you're never out of God's presence. He will come walking. The raging storm and waves are beneath his feet. He will come speaking a word of assurance and comfort to your heart. He will come and he will get into the boat with you. And he will bring peace to your aching heart and your troubled soul. We often talk about God being all-knowing, all-present, and all-powerful. These are the three omni words that we often speak about when we refer to the Lord, that he is omniscient, he's omnipresent, and he is omnipotent. The word omni just means all. And so, omniscient means all-knowing. Omnipresent means all-present. And omnipotent means all-powerful. And those line up perfectly with this message. You are never out of God's sight, because God is all-knowing. You are never out of God's reach, because God is all-present. And you are never out of God's care, because God is all-powerful. Perhaps you're going through a difficult time right now. Perhaps you feel that you have been stuck in the middle of the lake for a long time. Maybe you feel that God has forgotten you, or he has abandoned you, or he just doesn't care about you. That's when you need to remember these three things. You are never out of God's sight. God has not forgotten you. You are never out of God's reach. God has not abandoned you. You were never out of God's care. He will come to your rescue and he will help you, because he's the all-knowing, the all-present, and the all-loving God who knows your troubles and will rescue you in his perfect timing. And this was the perfect timing for these men. They had toiled all those hours. Maybe they thought Christ had forgotten about them, but he came at the right time. And he gets into their boat. And he brings that quietness and that calm. Brethren and sisters, he can do the same for you today. And I trust, if you're in the storm, that the Lord will climb in beside you and give you the calmness and the peace that he's able to bestow. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. We're reminded about the storm and how often it erupts, and it did for a number of times, in a number of times for these men. And the Lord was there. He came, he spoke, he got into the ship, he brought peace. And Lord, we've mentioned various situations that have been great storms in the lives of individuals, and for all we know, others that are here today and they're in a storm of some kind. Please, Lord, today, get into their boats and bring the peace that only God can give. All my peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Lord, it's something that the world cannot give, but the Lord can. And may he bestow it upon those that are in the raging waters at this time. For Jesus' sake and for his glory we pray. Amen. I must have the Savior with me. It's the hymn 423 as we close the service. I must have the Savior with me, for I dare not walk alone. I must feel his presence near me and his arm around me throw, and then my soul shall fear no ill. Let's stand to sing. sit down for a wee moment before I close in prayer. We will need certain arrangements, God willing, for receiving the refugees, these brothers and sisters in Christ. And maybe tonight after the meeting, if you have time to wait, those that might be interested in preparing the rooms, if we could wait just for a little time, we can discuss some of the things that need to be done. I want to thank the congregation. You have been an amazing church. My wife just made the remark the other day, I've never been as proud of the Hebron congregation, just to see so many things happening and people knocking on the door, a little money here or some bedding, a gift to help and to encourage. Sometimes the postman brings an envelope that's just not the ordinary ones, and Susan will say, there's one of those wee envelopes you like to receive. And it's just somebody listening in on sermon audio or YouTube or Facebook, and they're sending in a gift to help with various needs over the years, and especially at this time. Got a very interesting card from a lady who is from the Lake District, and they're listening here. They count Hebron very much part of their congregation. And she said, told the story, she had a check there for the Ukrainian refugees, but she said, 30 years ago, I found a gold necklace, and I reported it to the police. Nobody ever came forward to claim it, and it's been sitting in my house for 30 years, and I got very convicted about it. And she says, I went out and I sold it, and I said, I'll give the money to Ukraine, and she sent a check for £300. So just some of the amazing things that the Lord's people are doing, little tokens for good along the way. So I want to thank everyone for all your contribution, for all your love, and may the Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, we commit ourselves to Thee. And again, as we think of the storm, we think of our brothers and sisters over there in this war situation. We think of wives that have had to leave husbands. We think of families that are parted for a little time, not knowing what's going to happen, or who might lose their lives from their own families or lose their homes. We know they've lost so much already. But Lord, we have sought by your grace to step up to the mark and to do what we can. And we pray as we endeavor to receive the refugees, our brothers and sisters in Christ, that they will settle and be at home with us very, very quickly. And we pray that you'll be with them. Be with them in the journey to get them here. May that all go smoothly. And now part us with your blessing, the blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.